Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Spaceflight This Week, an NSF podcast. I'm News Director Thomas Burkhart with a quick recap of spaceflight news for the week of April 3rd, 2023. We start in Kazakhstan with the successful return of the uncrewed Soyuz MS-22 spacecraft on Tuesday. The vehicle returned empty because of damage sustained in December while the spacecraft was docked to the International Space Station. The vehicle's coolant loop was damaged and began to leak due to a suspected micrometeorite strike, but similar damage on a Progress spacecraft just a few months later has suggested a systematic manufacturing problem. The MS-23 spacecraft is currently docked to the station to act as a lifeboat for the crew's extended stay. The two Russians and one American that launched on MS-22 will now spend a year on the International Space Station rather than 6 months before returning on MS-23. Inspections of the returned MS-22 capsule are underway, but initial word is that temperatures remain survivable during descent, although uncomfortable. Late Tuesday night, Israel conducted its 10th ever orbital launch. A Shavit 2 rocket carried the Ofek-13 reconnaissance satellite to low Earth orbit. The mission lifted off from Palmachrim military base in Israel, and as is standard for Israel launches due to the surrounding geography, the mission targeted a retrograde orbit with the initial ascent flying west over the Mediterranean Sea. The mission was the nation's 12th orbital launch attempt, with all but two being successful. The Shavit 2 maintains its perfect reliability record with its sixth successful launch. On Wednesday evening, during qualification testing of the Centaur 5 structural test article, United Launch Alliance team suffered an anomaly which could delay Vulcan's first launch. The testing was being conducted at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama, assessing structural loads under the worst possible conditions. While ULA investigates the anomaly and determines the cause, as well as determining if any testing will need to be redone, other launch preparations are continuing, including preparations for a wet dress rehearsal of the first flight vehicle at Cape Canaveral. The first launch was targeted for May 4th prior to the anomaly. Reports from CNBC's Michael Sheets state that Virgin Orbit is ceasing operations and laying off as much as 90% of its workforce. After putting most of the company on an unpaid furlough last week, the smallsat launch provider was unable to secure funding and will keep only 100 employees in the near term. The company's most recent launch, which was also the first to be conducted from Spaceport Cornwall in the United Kingdom, was the first flight with payloads on board not to successfully reach orbit. The mission was lost during second stage flight. Overall, the Launcher 1 rocket reached orbit on 4 of its 6 flights, with the only other failure occurring on the first launch, which carried no customer payloads. Virgin Orbit becomes just the second commercial launch provider to formally cease operations after successfully reaching orbit, with the only other being Sea Launch in 2014. SpaceX conducted another pair of Falcon 9 launches this week. First, the Starlink Group 5-10 mission lifted off from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral on Wednesday. The flight carried 56 version 1.5 Starlink satellites to orbit, while SpaceX continues to troubleshoot issues with the version 2 mini satellites. The launch was supported by Booster 1077, making its fourth flight, ending with a successful landing on Just Read the Instructions. Then, on Sunday, following a multi-day delay due to an engine issue on the first stage, Booster 1075 made its second flight on the Tranche 0 Flight 1 mission for the Space Development Agency. The flight was the first in support of the demonstration phase of the SDA's LEO constellation development, carrying 8 military communications satellites built by York Space Systems and 2 missile warning satellites built by SpaceX. A second Falcon 9 will carry a total of 16 communications and tracking satellites to finish Tranche 0 later this year, ahead of the operational deployments beginning with Tranche 1. After lifting off from Vandenberg Space Launch Complex 4 East, Falcon 9 returned and landed at Landing Zone 4. The big reveal of the crew of Artemis 2 came on Monday, with NASA announcing the 4 astronauts that will be the first to fly on Orion and SLS, as well as the first to fly to the moon since the Apollo program. The crewed test flight of SLS and Orion, slated for no earlier than next year, will be commanded by NASA astronaut Reid Wiseman. Wiseman previously flew a 6-month crew rotation to the International Space Station on the Soyuz TMA-13M mission. The pilot of Artemis II will be NASA astronaut Victor Glover, who previously served as pilot of SpaceX Crew 1, the first operational commercial crew mission. The American mission specialist on the flight will be Christina Koch, who has spent just under a year in space to date, launching to the ISS on Soyuz MS-12 and returning on MS-13. The final crew member and the Canadian representative on the mission is Jeremy Hansen, who will be making his first spaceflight. Finally, in Starbase, Texas, SpaceX teams are as close as ever to the first flight of Starship and the Super Heavy booster, with launch now expected to occur as early as the next week. Booster 7 returned to the orbital launch site and was installed on the launch mount, where it completed a propellant loading test on Monday. Liquid oxygen and liquid nitrogen were loaded in an apparently smooth test. Ship 24 is also back at the launch site awaiting a lift for full stack testing. Teams have also continued to test GSC equipment and umbilical connections, as well as finishing closeouts on the orbital launch mount, such as removing scaffolding. Marine hazard zones have been published for the launch, including zones for the initial ascent over the Gulf of Mexico and the reentry and splashdown of Ship 24 in the Pacific Ocean. The timing of these restrictions indicate a morning launch window between around 8 a.m. and noon Central Time, and the zones also begin taking effect on April 6th, according to the current publication, but these dates are likely to be adjusted. All told, the launch itself may possibly occur early this month. And that's all on the latest episode of Spaceflight This Week. If you want more spaceflight news, check out our other podcasts, subscribe to NASA Spaceflight on YouTube, or visit nasaspaceflight.com.